Well, welcome everyone to Mercersburg Mennonite Church. It's good to be in the house of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And so this morning is a little bit different, as you can tell by everybody keeps saying it, different speakers. But I do have a message I want to share before we move forward. And the title of this message is Money is Needed, but You're Not Off the Hook. And I've already heard from a couple different people that title piqued their interest, which was the point of the matter. And actually, the way I want to do this is I'm going to address the first part of that. Money is needed. Why would I say this? Well, Jesus told us that wherever your treasure is, there the desire of your heart will also be. And Jesus has made it clear that if we treasure the wrong things, it will lead our hearts in the wrong place. Whatever we treasure the most is what controls us. Whatever we treasure the most, it will control us, whether we want to admit it or not. Where have we placed our treasures? How do we look at our possessions and the finances that we have? Money is needed. Well, what am I trying to get after? Let's look at Romans 11, 33 through 36, just page 913. You see, the thing I find interesting is that when we talk about money, and you want to know somebody's heart condition, I think that's the first place you can go. If you really want to know the depths of somebody's heart condition, talk about money. Matter of fact, they're talking about money and the church or missions, and it reveals real quickly our heart condition. And real quickly, we claim good stewardship, but what really is revealed is the truth of the matter has been lost. And what do I mean? Romans 11, 33. Oh, how great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge. How impossible it is for us to understand his decisions and his ways. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to give him advice? And who has given him so much that he needs to pay it back? For everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever. Amen. There's a question here. It's like, who has the ability to ask God the questions? But really, the truth of the matter is that too many times we looked at, if I give, then God needs to give me back. And in this, it tells us very clearly, you can never give God enough that where he needs to repay. Matter of fact, we need to stop and pause and think about everything he has already given us and how we evaluate our faith. Matter of fact, Moses approached the Israelites, challenging them, reminding them that how God had brought them through the desert and now provided this land. To be careful, because too many times what we start thinking is what we have done on our own ability. And Moses challenged them in Deuteronomy that God had done all these things so that they could never say, I have achieved this wealth with my own strength, my own energy. Too many times we take the possessions and the wealth that we have, the resources, and say it's mine, when it's been a gift from God. And it reveals the truth of our hearts. When I think about this and think about what we are trying to accomplish today and what I'm challenging you guys this morning, and as I said, every Sunday morning, I think when we gather together, when we open the Word of God, I think it demands a response from us. What are we allowing to work in our hearts, the Word of God? We have the church in Antioch. Now, I just want you to think about this. I would love for Mercersburg Mennonite Church to be like the church in Antioch. I would love to see all the American churches to be like the church in Antioch. Why is that? This church came about because Stephen had been persecuted. And now, after he was executed, the church in Jerusalem was being persecuted. And as the people left Jerusalem, they went about sharing the gospel message, but they only shared the gospel message with the Jewish people. Well, we say, well, they shared with the Samaritans, but they were half Jewish. The church of Antioch was the first ones to say, wait a minute, this message is for everyone. And they started sharing it with the Gentiles. It set the Jewish Jerusalem church on edge. And so they sent Barnabas to find out what's going on. And when Barnabas arrived, he realized that God was moving in this congregation. And he said, I know what to do next. And he went and got Saul, who we know later as Paul. But I want to be clear. Saul, Paul, both his birth names. Saul's his Hebrew name. Paul's his Roman name. We see Saul, and then when he starts ministering to the Gentiles, we now refer to him as Paul. But it's the same person. His name didn't change, as sometimes people refer to. It's just the way he interacted with people. But he went and got Saul, who was hiding because the Pharisees wanted to kill him. They started teaching these people. But in this service, a prophet stood up and said that there is a great famine coming. And the church responded. This church responded and started taking up offerings to send to the Jerusalem church. And we see this throughout Paul's letters when he wrote to the Corinthians. He said, like I told the church in Galatia, collect your money the first day of the week so that when I come, I can collect it and take it on to the Jerusalem church. They saw the opportunity and that actually part of what their service was is to support one another. How do we look at our possessions and our resources? I find this amazing because we have an opportunity, and that's what I want to share before you, because I remember when Jewel told me that she now looks at Mercersburg. Several years ago, she told me that she looks at Mercersburg as her home church. We have an opportunity to walk with them. We have walked with this work team partners and with this church. But how do we look at this opportunity? And how do we look at any other times that resources are needed? Because Proverbs tells us it this way. We are to honor God with our wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. This is a Cain and Abel situation that is being presented in Proverbs. You see, Abel gave the best out of his flock. And everybody wants to say, well, Cain, the reason Cain was rejected was because he gave grains and fruit and vegetables. But that is not the case, because we see that that is actually part of the sacrificial system. What the problem was when you read the Cain and Abel story is Cain, it is stated, gave out of what was left. And too many times how we go about this is whether it's our resources of time, our resources of money, we end up giving to God in an act of worship out of what's left. And that we should be challenged to the heart. Money is needed. And so Apostle Paul also tells the church as he's collecting it, you must decide in your heart how much to give. Don't give reluctantly or in response of pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. You see, it's not really the amount. It's your attitude and how you are giving. It is your attitude, this money that is needed, right? The reason is needed, we think, oh, well, God's begging us to do this and that. No, God doesn't really need your resources like you think. Your resources are given to you because what it ultimately does is it reveals the depth of the desires of your heart. When you've been given much, how do you handle it? How do you see it? Money is needed so that it reveals our hearts and how we respond. So I ask you, when you think about your offering, how do you see your offering? Is it a responsibility and a duty? Or do you see it truly as what it should be, and that is an act of worship? The reason I've thought about this and challenged you guys this morning is because we do have, as Glenda mentioned, the fundraiser coming up. I want you guys to think about this. And we're raising funds to help with the teacher salaries. What would you think if your salary depended on people in another country and the fundraiser that they do? So what I want to challenge you is that maybe you're not into the work team partner thing. But what are you into? Because there needs to be something, because this is a part of our worship. And so this morning, I feel that we need to seriously take into account, because not only are we talking about teacher salary, But we were part of building a high school. The other two times I've been there, we built houses. This is a high school. And when we went to do home visits, people were excited about not only just the high school, but also the opportunities that were being brought to this third world town. Opportunities that we take for granted here in America. And as a church, we should be walking along with one another. And so Seth's going to come first, which Seth and I had the opportunity to go together, and that was a great opportunity. And then Aaron and Joel will be sharing, and then Paul Fry, who is the chairman or president of Work Team Partners, will come up and clean up anything I said incorrectly. He'll be my fact checker. And then I will come up and close and talk about what do I mean by you're not off the hook. So with that, if you could bring up Seth's PowerPoint. And Seth, come and share.
Good morning. So whenever I was jotting down my notes for what I was going to write about, first thing that came to my mind was as soon as I stepped off the plane, how humid and hot it was. At this time, it was January, so we just got off from it being cold. Even in Clear Spring, we didn't get any snow, but it was still cold. And going there and feeling the hot, had to get acclimated to that. And the second thing I thought of whenever I was jotting down my notes was when we got off the plane, we got in this van, bus kind of thing, and we put all of our luggage in the back, and we all were sardined in there. I'm pretty sure my knees were on top of Joel's, but I'm thankful we at least had a bus. At least we didn't have to walk there. So I'm thankful for that. Whenever we got to Los Toros, it was pretty early in the morning, so I was pretty much running on AA batteries trying to get to the house. And luckily, because we had a bigger group that was staying in our house, we had one of the nicer rooms. We had a shower, an actual running shower, so that I was grateful for that. I shared a room with Justin Coons and Joel Amstutz. We stayed in the main room for one night and then proceeded to leave because it was too hot. So then we went outside onto the deck, and that's whenever I realized that it gets cold at night. And so I never thought I'd end up sleeping with sweatpants, a sweatshirt, and socks in the DR, but I did. And then the next morning, we worked. I was told by my father that we'd be working hard and long all day, and he did not lie. For about 5 days, we were pretty much just digging and trying to get any dirt that we could to level out into the sections. They had about six sections that we had to fill. And we did that for a while. And even though it seemed long and difficult, I still made a lot of great friends with the people down there. That was the first time I met Juanza. And there was this kid named Abby who kept telling me he wanted to come to America to eat ice cream from Sweetsies. So that was very cool. And even whenever the end of the trip started coming and we started just making mud for the Masons, it was still great, even though we didn't speak the same language and it was sometimes hard to understand each other. We were still able to build, and I just thought that that was amazing. And I was just thankful for the time that I had there to learn about different things, the ways of building, and just being able to communicate with people. And I just thought that was great. Also, one of my favorite parts of the trip was the community. It was great to see a different kind of life and just how they live down there, and it was just amazing. I just thought it was great how they always found things just enjoyable. I know in America, I feel like we kind of look down on some stuff if it's not good enough, but down there, they just, even whenever we were just having fun, they always had a smile on their face, and I just thought that was great. After work, we'd play hockey or volleyball in the school after we'd be done working, and it was just great to hang out with the kids and just meet them and be able to, you know, get extra exercise in after a long day of work. And once school finally came back in, and we would leave halfway through working to go to gym class with Benedict, it was still great to, you know, play knockout and volleyball with the kids, and it was just a great time. And we also had home visits. Us group of teens went on our own home visit. And our first one, I kind of feel bad. We met this guy named Francisco, and it was a room basically full of a bunch of awkward teens. And if you get a room full of us, we tend to not talk. And so I feel bad. I wish we would have said more to him because he was a very nice man, but we ended up kind of just standing there and answering unanswered questions. But our second house visit was much more alive. We had a bunch of kids from the town come and stay at the upstairs in David and Jules' house, and we played ping pong, and we would just talk, and we played spoons, and it was great. I just thought it was great to see how, you know, sometimes, you know, thinking about God's plan, you kind of think of just America, but it's great to see it in other parts of the world, how they're living and how they're sharing the word of God and how they're getting it out. And it was just great to see a different kind of community, and it was just a great experience overall.
Good morning. I'm going to talk about mostly the relationships that we built there while we were there. The guy on the left, his name is Abby, and we spent a lot of time with him. He and Ruby were kind of our two main translators. He knew some pretty good English, so he helped us understand what people were saying, and it was a lot of fun to hang out with him. And on the right, that's Caden Eby, and I'm not sure what the kid's name is. I don't remember. But he was a lot of fun. He always just kind of popped up. He just had his little ball, and he was bouncing around. He loved to play with people, so he's just kind of like the highlight of a day sometimes. That's me and Justin Coons and Abby and, you said, Julie Bell? They were trying to stay out of the heat there while they're in between moving block for the construction. We would make like trains where we'd pass the blocks along, and that was kind of fun too, because you got to talk while you're doing it, and you build up relationships there too. But when you get a break, you're definitely trying to stay out of the sun. That's us down at, so the school has like a basketball court and a volleyball or whatever. But there's also a local basketball court where in the evenings, you'd go to the ice cream shop, and you could go down there, and you'd hang out with the local people and kind of play basketball there. So that's them playing knockout. And then this is a picture of most of the people that we hang out with throughout the week or two. It was just a lot of fun getting to know them and seeing how they live their lives.
Good morning again. It was a really neat time. Back to that knockout picture, I just want to really emphasize that, you know, that game started with about 40 people. Okay, so it was a really long line. The last two left were Neil Coons and myself. Neil beat me, but the old guys represented. So that. That was a lot of fun being down in the DR. This was my second opportunity to go. I'd been a couple years ago with Danae, and this time to be able to go with Joel was a really neat experience. But I wanted to start with this picture because I think this really represents kind of how the work happens there in Los Toros, is that together we can make a difference. And just the significance of two cultures coming together for a common goal and for a common project was really, really significant. And this is now part of a mural there at the school that just kind of represents a little bit of what it means to be working together as the kingdom of God. Not just one culture working on its own, but coming together to further a bigger purpose. So anyone that's traveled with me, especially my wife and kids, know that I love flowers. Call me crazy, but if you're traveling with me, you're going to see me out there. Now, this is just cell phone photography, okay? I don't have, you know, the big telescopic lens, but I'm going to be down there on my hands and knees trying to get just the right shot to capture some of the beauty in the creation around us. This is one of the things that just stood out to me over and over as we walked the roads there in Dominican and Los Toros. You know, you've got your hibiscus, and then on the way to the work site, there's just this spectacular spiraled trumpet-type flower. And then right across from that is this huge field of cilantro. The freshness, the green, the flavors, the just miraculous colors that God places before us to enjoy and to experience. And one of the things that I really, really appreciate about seeing another place and going to another place is realizing that God's beauty is all around us. And as we kind of engage in that moment by moment experience, just the way that he reveals himself in the spectacular diversity of the creation that he placed around us. Another thing you need to know about me is that I travel for food. I love experiencing new cultures and new flavors and new foods. And so, yeah, the picture on the left, that's kind of one of our first lunches up there. You got your obligatory rice and chicken and beans, but then they had this potato salad stuff. I mean, it was potatoes and yams and sweet potatoes and beets and carrots and onions, and it was spectacular. It was one of the most brilliant potato salads I've ever had in my life. This is the one you go back, it was the star of the meal. You know, you go back for multiple helpings of potato salad. If there's some left at the end, you try to get one more spoonful because, I mean, this stuff was great. Now, I'm guilty of being a foodie and loving these new tastes and these new experiences. I don't think some of these young boys know how to eat yet. I mean, they really kind of turned up their nose at some of it, but just the varieties. And the way you can make rice and chicken and beans in 14 different ways, and it all comes through with a different essence and a different character of the location. The picture on the right, this was out at the farm. This is one of my favorite meals of the trip. After the first year I was down there, I was really, really looking forward to this one again. The team as a whole is not so much of a fan of this kind of boiled fish served over mashed bananas with this red sauce and scrambled eggs. And it spectacular meal. Okay, I love this meal. I can't wait to go to the DR again just to have the fish and bananas. It is absolutely amazing. And if you don't like coconut, try the fresh coconut, okay? This is worth the trip. Out there at the farm, finding a fresh coconut that's fallen from the tree and dried to that perfect Caribbean sweetness, I could eat a whole one of these. It probably wouldn't be good for my digestive system, but I could eat a whole coconut. So, again, these are types of experiences that I love having. I love being in new cultures just for the sights and the flavors and the smells. This was also a really special trip for me because I did get to go with Joel. And to have my son there and watch him learn and grow and experience kind of these different cultures as well. Was really special for me. Yes, I did shave while I was down there and was accused of trying to recapture my youth. But it was more than that. It was, again, just this mutual experience of having my son there to grow and work with and do life with in a very intimate setting. And yeah, to see him experience and develop relationships outside of just the local school and family that can sometimes get isolated here. I want you to just brace yourself for the next picture because it does kind of help channel this experience a little bit. But the picture on the left there, I realize the foreground is blurry, but the smile behind it, again, just that capture of experience. Of, I'm going to try something different. That's not a stock photography. Again, this is just cell phone photography. But that tarantula was about that big, okay? And we're letting him crawl on our hands, and talking about the sticker feels of the hairs on his feet, and again, just to be able to experience that growth, that development, that newness, to do something for the first time. Again, it was just a really meaningful time during this trip. And yes, while we were there, we did work. Each of those rooms we filled to within just a couple inches of the top with this really rocky, heavy fill. It was not smooth shoveling stuff. We shoveled it into wheelbarrows and then spread it with rakes and hoes. It was backbreaking. It was exhausting. It was hot. But it was work together. And again, this kind of together feel that really came through as we worked to take this high school from kind of this very basic beginning stage to the next stage where we can start to see the progress into rooms and how the classrooms will be set up and the offices. And again, it was building relationship during these times of work. And I think David asked me, it may have been in a moment very much like this as we're kind of pushing wheelbarrows around. He said, Doc, he said, as you're going through your day-to-day, he said, what brings you life? What is energizing? What is renewing? I looked at him and said, it's not this. And after 4 or 5 days of shoveling rock, I knew, okay, I'm not a construction guy. This is not my calling. Sometimes it was a drudgery. It was a burden to walking down to that construction site to shovel more rock. And okay, here we go again. But it was a question that kind of went in the back of my mind. What is my calling? What does God have me here for? What is my purpose? Yes, I can shovel rock, but what is the bigger picture of what does God have in mind? And the day that we went down to the farm, it was almost as soon as we pulled in to that ag center with the sheep and the agricultural development, and I felt it. There was life there. There was energy there. There was renewal there. And for me, just recognizing that purpose and that direction, that this is something that I can contribute, where God has called me and placed me here for more than just me. They've got lots of sheep there, lots of lambs. We got to sample some of the produce from the farm. We got to make some of the feed. And again, just it's still hard, hot work. You're carrying this 8-foot-tall grass with splinters, and it's almost like fiberglass. It gets in your clothes, it gets in your skin, it gets in your nose. But for me, this was energizing. So you chop each of this grass, these sugar cane with machetes. You carry it into the barn where they have a chipper, shredder, like one of the 6-inch mulchers, and you run this grass and corn through that to kind of make the shredded and chopped silage. And then we packed it in barrels. You shovel it into a barrel, and you just stand there and you just tread on silage, packing those barrels as full and as tight as you can so that when you seal them up, let it sit for a month and it ensiles, and it makes a really just productive feed for these sheep. Protects from parasites in many ways and just becomes a very good way to feed sheep in a Caribbean environment. And again, this was a really, really fun day for me where I just had a blast dancing in the barrels. Relationships matter too. And Danae and I had stayed with Pepito and Trini when we were down there a couple years ago. And this is Pepito outside of his fruit stand, and just that reconnection after being away for a couple years and being able to communicate together. And his English is as bad as my Spanish, but there's a friendship there, and we can converse about life and the significance of what it means to be part of the Los Toros community. I really enjoyed reconnecting with him. And the team was just a really great group. This is at the end of the trip. We're still smiling together. We still have everybody. But the group bonded really well, and we're able to, again, come together with all our different gifts, with all our different abilities, with all our different joys and strengths So this is where we left the building. We have the first floor blocked up and ready to pour, and Paul will have some pictures of kind of the next stages that have happened since we left. And this was walking out to the school every day. Again, it's a beautiful, beautiful country, just incredible, incredible beauty all around with, the banana fields, the plantain fields, the cilantro fields. God has really created a beautiful world where we can work and serve. I wanted to close with just a couple verses, again, as we think about what it means to serve on a broader scale and as a body together. It comes from 1 Corinthians 12. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. And there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And jumping over to verse 12, for even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. And just as we lived life together there in Los Toros, it was just an incredible experience of all of us bringing the gifts and the abilities and the Spirit into that one place to be able to serve and work and see God working and building a body much bigger than just ourselves.
Well, I get to share as, like I said, from the head of Work Team Partners, and this is the logo that was painted on the wall. You can see the two hands shaking, but what I want to bring your attention to is the verse, 1 John 3:16 through 18. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, that we ought to lay our own lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and truth. Our stated mission is we want to partner with individuals, churches, and community organizations in developing countries to promote economic, educational, and agricultural development. And this morning, I'm going to talk a little bit more about the educational development and what we do there. We support New Birth Christian School in providing a quality, which that's the important part, a quality education, Christian education. The school system there, the public school system is, I want to use the word broken. It's just not very quality at all. And so this is a big deal. The school currently in the elementary area currently has 130 pre-K through ninth grade students. If you've ever been there, it's kind of amazing that they can get that many students in that little compound. We also provide a nutritious breakfast and lunch for the kids from produce obtained from the Ag Project that Aaron showed you. We also help raise sponsorships for 75 of those students, some of which who come from the neighboring town of La Mayita, who would otherwise not have an opportunity for an education. And we help raise support for teachers to help narrow the wage pay gap. Basically, public school teachers are considered one of the best paid occupations in the Dominican Republic. We can't compete with that, but we can try to help a little bit. And so that's why we try to raise support for these teachers to retain them at New Birth School. And the final thing we do is help construct buildings and infrastructure for the school so that the teaching can happen and that they have what they need to do that. We've run out of space in the little school, so the elementary school, so we're building a high school. First step of that was to acquire land. So just outside of town, where you can see the red circle or square there, we were able to purchase a piece of land. And then we needed to build on it. So first thing we got to do is break ground. This was, take note, in just November of last year, we broke ground. Leveled it off, dug footers, brought in tons and tons of rebar, all of which were bent by hand. We don't have any bending machines down there, and tied by hand. Put all that metal up and poured concrete. And for a Work Team Partners first, we actually mixed or didn't mix concrete. We actually ordered it in trucks. And we had a pump truck, and this was 6 trucks worth of concrete to do the footers. And then we brought in block. And I think totally it was 3 semi loads of truck to do this project. And this is mid-December. You can kind of see where we left the project. And I have it fade out there because at mid-December, we were completely out of money. We didn't know whether the group that was coming in January would be building the school or whether they'd be doing stuff at the farm or just doing busy work because we were out of money. But we put out the plea. We need $120,000, which is just unfathomable. And it came in, and it came in. So when we were coming, we were able to send the group. They were our money mules. They were able to carry that money for us, legally, of course. Of course, they showed you what they did, and I'll pick up from where they left off. We put in a well on the property. We have our own water source. I should say that was Dustin Nagley of Nagley's Well Drilling. We have professional help down there. We poured a roof and floor, roof for the first floor, and floor for the second floor. We put in steps, built the walls on the second floor, and then obviously a roof for the building. This building dimensionally is 40 by 60. All the little squares that were filled are about 20 by 20, and that's what the classroom sizes will be. Put in a water system, solar, completely off the grid. These are all the controllers for the water system. There's batteries there, inverters, water controllers. I don't actually understand what they all do, but I've been told they're important. There's other people other than me that know what's going on there. And then we were able to start painting, and we have our professional plumber there. I'm told that the water is supposed to come out of the top of the toilet like that. I'm not sure what exactly he was doing there, but anyhow. The kids from the high school actually came out and did the painting. They got as much paint on the walls as they did on each other, but they were contributing to their own high school, which is really neat to see. This is really neat. We ordered an entire semi-truck load of sod, spread it out. It has an irrigation system. This is the only grass field in Los Toros for recreation. And Jules there, she hopes to be able to teach American football to the kids there at in Los Toros. So it'll be interesting to see how that complicated game is taught. And this is, as of 2 days ago, this is what the picture was. They're plastering as a crew from San Juan. We had to hire down to just move the process along. They're up there on rickety scaffolding, just plastering away. And so the goal is to have this project completed by August when school starts. I was talking to Jewel yesterday morning. I said, how do you feel? Do you feel that this project's obtainable? She's like, well, as of this morning, yes. I had my doubts, but after seeing the progress in the last couple weeks, yes, I think it can happen. It's not going to be done or ready by any means, but it'll be ready to teach. There'll be more things that need to be done. But as you can see here, this is just the first step. The part in red is the building we just built. There are classrooms the whole way around to kind of create a courtyard. These will be 2 stories. So there's a lot more building there. We have a gymnasium. And then off to the side here, we actually hope to build dormitories. This will allow us to get some of the girls out of the surrounding community, get them out of some bad situations so they can actually be there to study and not worry about some other things going on. But talking to Jewel, she seems like the gymnasium would be the next priority. We need a place out there to get away from the heat that Seth talked about, to get in out of the sun and be able to have some recreation, and also a big place to do programs for both schools. We just run out of room, so we need a place where we can get inside. So that'll probably be our next focus. how can you get involved? First, you can pray that the building can be completed and ready before school starts in August. Also pray for the final piece of recognition for the school. It's probably just a waiting game. The gears of bureaucracy work so slow in the Dominican Republic, but we're still waiting for full school recognition. You can help us reach our 2023 fundraising goals. You can sponsor a child. Our goal is to sponsor 75 this year, so that I know we have a couple more that could be sponsored. You can sponsor a teacher. You can do all or part of a $6,000 year, per year sponsorship. We hope to sponsor 12 teachers. Our next building phase, our goal is $80,000. That's nothing. We did that easily last year, so we hope to be able to raise that and more. And we want to contribute to our ag fund. If that's your life-giving thing, our goal for this year is $2,000. And we do have an endowment fund. If you want to put some money in, but you want to see it just keep giving and giving and giving, our endowment fund would allow you to do that. And we've already started that. And our investors are doing very well, even through these bad investing times. Of course, boots on the ground. We have a trip in January, 8th through 18th. The trip is not full yet, but we're looking for some more. Or if you'd like to come spend 3 to 4 months teaching in Los Toros, that would be something you could do as well. Upcoming events, the school fundraiser, which was covered, but also put on your calendar the Work Team Partners Fundraising Banquet, which will be here Friday, September 22nd. Be chicken barbecue, potatoes, good food, and more updates on what's going on. That's the only way you can get updates. No, I'm kidding. And this is our contact information. We do send out a newsletter if you periodically, if you'd like to be on that list, just send an email to me at workteampartners@gmail.com, and I'll make sure you get on the list and you'll get updates. If you have any questions, I will be out in the foyer here after we close. And if you have any questions or specific pictures you'd like to see, I have a whole bunch more of those that you can do that.
So as we close here, I just want to kind of say that when we were there working on that high school and we were going around to our home visits, people were very excited about this high school and also the potential because they want to teach some trades. And the thing I want you to think about also is when we give towards this church and this school, the money doesn't just stop there. They're actually going into the next community over and ministering to that community. And so there's like this great opportunity that we're all working together. And so the question that, I mean, I had is that money is needed, and I said it exposes our hearts. There's also a tendency that when we give, we say, well, that's it. I gave. I've given. But that's just one part of the act of worship. There was a question, as Doc said, I asked him what's life-giving. I also went around and asked everybody on our work team this simple question. And it's a question I'm asking you to think about for next week's sermon. What are you excited about God doing in your life right now? The tendency is that we are caught in our conversion experience when we came to Christ. But the scripture is very clear in Romans 12 that our minds are continually being transformed. God is continually working in our lives. If somebody were to ask you today, what are you excited about that God is doing in your life? How would you answer? I can tell you that when I asked a lot of the people on our team, they would be like, let me think about it and get back to you. Two people responded immediately and had an answer that they were excited about what God was doing. I ask you that because if you look in the bulletin next week, it's kind of like part two. Yeah, we're talking about money, but for part two is I'm going to ruin your summer in a way, maybe. Some people might think I'm ruining your summer. Because actually next week, we're going to have a summer commissioning service. Because you see, I understand that a lot of us love to go camping on the weekends, or we all have vacation plans, and summer just we go, right? So my commissioning service next week is take Jesus with you and be a blessing. And so that's what we're going to talk about next week. What does it look like to take Jesus with you? And I want to challenge you that too many times we look for a Romans Road type thing where we go, do you know Jesus Christ? or where will you go when you die? And then we kind of go through our list, and it's like a telemarketer that called us on the phone, and we're just like, be thinking this next week. What are you excited about God is doing in your life right now? And we're going to talk more about what it means to be a blessing when we take Jesus with us. So with that, as we come to a close, I just challenge you that as this fundraiser comes, maybe just tell people about it. Share. I mean, the auction, the food, it's good, but it's for a good cause, and we're trying to raise money here. If it's not this, then where is it that God is moving you to? But let us not just think worship is just right here, right now. Worship is as we go. Worship is as we give of our funds, of our resources. Worshiping is our lives. And we worship God in everything we do. Let's stand as we close in prayer. Heavenly Father, right now, as we bring this service to conclusion, I pray that we understand the reality that our lives are to be lives that are lived out for you, worshiping you. I pray that our desire is that we understand everything we have, absolutely everything we have, is from you. Lord, that actually what we have for those who believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, has sealed our heart for salvation. We have every spiritual gift that we need, everything to empower us to live. But Lord, we tend to think of blessings as material, possessions, treasures. And we can get hung up on that. And we can actually start allowing that to become our idol. I pray that today that we have allowed your Spirit to search our hearts and minds, to reveal the truth if we have allowed that to become our idol, or if we are willing to hand over everything to you as you prompt us to. And Lord, that our lives would be a life of worship. And that our desire is not that just that we're saved, but our lives are that we live out to grow in a deeper relationship with you, being a light to this world. And so, Lord, I pray that if there was anything that was said that was from us has fallen to deaf ears. But Lord, I do pray that your word has pierced our hearts and minds. And as we leave here, in a blessing of a way, haunt us to the truth of how are we living out this faith. Because, Lord, we respond and know the love you have for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, and we see that love displayed on the cross, the blood shed for our sins. In the empty tomb, that we are brought into this right relationship with you. Lord, I pray that we find great joy in that, even in the difficult times. And so, Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity we have to gather here. And we ask this all in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, like Paul said, he'll be out in the foyer if you have any other questions. And with that, thank you for your time and attention. Go in the love and peace of Jesus Christ. You're dismissed.